It began my last day at the factory. There was a single card-carrying communist employed at Ringers, a short, stout woman whose close-cropped grey hair stood up on her head like a brush. She had a standard pronouncement on everything from our wages, slave, to the Queen, an oppressor. My evangelistic efforts, when she detected them, pushed the button in her which released such statements as, "God is the invention of the exploiter class." Being an utterly humourless person herself, she never realised that people were laughing at her. In 20 years at the factory, she had not made a single convert. I found her a pathetic rather than a laughable figure, and at lunchtime would often go to the table where she sat alone. The day I left Ringers, I stopped by the bench where she worked to say goodbye. "You're getting rid of me at last," I said, hoping at least to keep our parting friendly. "But not of the lies you've told," she flared back at me. "You've hypnotized these people with your talk of salvation and pie in the sky. You've blinded them with—" I sighed and settled myself for the opiate of the people lecture. But to my surprise, the angry voice faltered. "Of course, they believed you," she went on less certainly. "They're untrained. They haven't been taught dialectical argument. They think just what they want to think." "After all," her voice was so low I could scarcely hear, "if you could choose, who wouldn't choose? Well, God and all that." I glanced at her swiftly and thought I saw the unthinkable. I thought I saw tears in her eyes. Chapter 7. Behind the Iron Curtain. Coming back to Vitta after 2 years in England was like living through one of those experiences that has happened before. Just as when I returned from Indonesia, everything in the village that hot morning in July 1955 was so precisely as it had been when I left it that at first I had the uncomfortable feeling that no time had elapsed at all. Geltje was out in the garden hanging up clothes when I stepped across the little bridge onto our plot of land. Here, though, there was a difference. A little boy was playing on the front stoop. Geltje's son. "Hi," I called around him. "Anybody home? It's Andy." And once again, everyone suddenly appeared. There were the shouts and hugs, the catching up, the attack on the problem of logistics, who would sleep where, when Uncle Andrew was home. The next several days were spent visiting friends. I went to see Mr. Ringers at the factory. I visited Miss Meikle, who threw her hands into the air with astonishment at my English, and with Keyes's family. I called on the Wetstras, where I discovered to my surprise that they were about to move to Amsterdam. They had done well in their flour export business and wanted to be closer to the big shipping offices. Last of all, I went down to Ermelo to visit my brother Ben and his wife. Very casually, I asked him if he had heard anything about Tiel.